Today I'd like to talk about a problem in the church that has developed over the course of 2,000 years. It's unfortunate we don't know more church history because we could clearly recognize this, that because it is so pervasive as well as pernicious, we're not even aware of its presence. And I've fretted all week about how best to introduce this, and I decided to try with two anecdotes. I was ordained almost 50 years ago, and in my first parish, we were having supper, the pastor and the two assistants, and there was a high school attached to the parish. And we were having supper, and a girl from the high school came into the dining room where we were eating. The pastor stood up and with great indignation said, "You've just violated the Holy of Holies, the Sanctum Sanctorum." The girl was terrified, not surprisingly. And I thought that might just be a passing phenomenon, something that is no longer current. But the last time I was in the States, about 5 years ago, I was pastor of two little bitty churches in the country. And when the permanent pastor was assigned, some people from the church drove to the town where I was teaching and related this anecdote to me. They had the first meeting of the parish council. The pastor was a young man, not ordained very long, yet with an honest BA in history from my alma mater, the University of Illinois. So he should have been something of a sophisticate, I would think. And in the course of the meeting, he made the following assertion. He said, "If the sky is pink and I say it's blue," I'll reverse that. "If the sky is blue and I say it's pink, then the sky is pink." What I'm getting at, of course, is the fact that we have in the church a caste system. It seems to me undeniable. We have a two-story institution, with the clergy occupying the upper story and the laity the lower story. The problem is, of course, clericalism, something we're so accustomed to that we barely recognize its presence, much less its pervasive influence. What put me in mind of this was this reading from Paul. This is a legitimate letter, the Corinthian correspondence is for sure from Paul, where he talks to everybody in Corinth called to be saints. Everybody is called to be saints. Without distinction. Yet it seems to me we have so mystified the clerical status in the church that we don't hear that voice. Oh, the priests are supposed to be holy. The priests are supposed to be very close to God, much closer than I. So that I can't tell you how many times I've heard in the 50 years I've been ordained, "Oh, Father, do pray for me because I know God hears your prayers." That's total rubbish. Not only is it rubbish, it is destructive. So I've been casting around looking for other resources, and there are not many, but they're potent. I've mentioned a number of times this marvelous book, Clericalism, The Death of Priesthood, written just a couple years ago by a Jesuit sociologist. Two other books I strongly recommend to you is by two of the greatest theologians in the 20th century, Eve Congar, who wrote powerfully about the church. He has a book called The Gospel Priesthood. And then the greatest moral theologian of the 20th century, a German named Bernard Haring, has a book called The Priesthood Imperiled. And both of them come to the same conclusion, that the church is pervaded by this caste system. So I'd like to appeal to another theologian, himself clergy, and just read you a paragraph that he has written, one of many such. Clericalism suffocates. It makes part of itself into the whole sacred character of the church. It makes its power a sacred power to control, to lead, to administer, a power to perform sacraments. And in general, it makes any power a power given to me. Clericalism separates all sacredness from the lay people. In short, clericalism is de facto denial of the church as the body of Christ. For in the body, all organs are related and different only in their functions, but not in their essence. And the more clericalism clericalizes the traditional image of the bishop or the priest emphasized by his clothes, the bishop in full regalia, the more the church itself becomes more worldly, spiritually submits itself to the world. In the New Testament, the priest is presented as an ideal layman, but almost immediately there begins his increasingly radical separation from lay people, and not only separation, but opposition to lay people, contrast to them. Again, the most obvious form of separation is the exclusion of lay people from the communion as a fulfillment of their membership in the body of Christ. Instead of a faithful image, there appears the image of a master of sacrality, separated from the faithful, dispensing grace as he sees fit. So what's at stake here is the very essence of the church. The church is supposed to be the body of Christ, but again, I'm reminded of that statement made by Pius XI to Alexander Carter and a bunch of Canadian seminarians, where he said the following: the body of Christ has become a monstrosity with a massive head and its diminutive body. And it is curious that Pius XI was preceded immediately in the papacy by Pius X, who notably said, the task of the laity is to pray, pay, and obey. So what is the problem, as well as what Father Schmemann says about the church being its reality as the body of Christ being denied because of a clerical culture, of a caste system, of a two-story church? It has two absolutely devastating effects, so that I, all week, have been walking around with this image. Trocek, you are perpetrating a fraud on the church as a cleric. The problem is that it gives the cleric a radically distorted sense of who he is. The master of sacrality, as Schmemann says, that I am in charge of all things holy, that I am the dispenser of all things holy, and the laity is simply the repository of whatever benefices I bestow on them. And of course, the concomitant problem is that the self-understanding of the laity is also disordered. Oh, Father, pray for me because I know God hears your prayers. That's not true. It is simply not true. It is a lie. I understand the history. I mean, thanks to Constantine and Gregory VII, an enormous number of distortions set in fairly early on in the church. If you look at the New Testament, of course, there is not even the word cleric in lay. But very early on, what Lord Acton so perceptively noted when the declaration of papal infallibility was made in the 19th century, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. So the poor laity, the poor laity, the poor laity are dispossessed. But then there's also an upside to that. Therefore, if the priest is the Holy One and I am not, then he will intercede and do all the work that I'm supposed to do for myself. Paul says we are all called to be saints. We are all called to be saints without distinction. And this mystification of the clerical state makes that an impossible image, I think. Because we have mystified the clergy. We have endowed them with all kinds of powers and perhaps most dangerously the notion that there are two kinds of holiness in the church. There's the holiness of the priesthood and then there's the second class holiness of the laity. And if you think I'm exaggerating the impact of this, I call your attention to the fact that one of the most prominent bishops in the world, knowing a priest pedophile, ignoring it, denying it, moving him around, did this tellingly for the sake of the church. For the sake of the church. It was not for the sake of the church. It was for the sake of this inflated status and position and definition of what a priest is supposed to be. The whole pedophilia thing can largely be, I think, laid at the feet of the of clerical structure of the church. Father would never do that. Father would never. Father's holy. Rubbish. It is perverse. It is destructive. And so we need, in every conceivable way, first of all, to recognize it. Because, as I said, I think it is so pervasive in the church, even today, that we're barely aware of its power, its destructive power. So we're gathered here as the body of Christ. I love to hear black preachers. A variety of reasons, but they have a way of addressing the congregation that is really telling and authentically Christian. Church, do you hear me? They say. Church, do you hear me? Church, addressing everybody as their co-equal Christians, in other words. We do not do this. We do not do this. And what it will take, if the pedophilia thing doesn't put the skids to this notion of the superiority of the clerical caste, then I don't know what will. But it seems to me absolutely essential that we recognize this. And we recognize that today the people in seminaries are far more clerical than were the people of my generation. Study after study after study have pointed out that the newly ordained are into power, prestige, very personal and individualized piety. So I don't know. I don't know. I say this stuff, I think all this stuff is true, and I don't know where to go with it. I mean, I am a discredited voice in this diocese. The very fact that I would say something would invalidate what I have to say. But by God, we need to be aware of this. By God, we need to act against this in every way we can.